This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked on Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked on Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts your car will ever need. Be sure to visit rockauto.com. Got a handful of topics want to dive into today. First of which being Kevin Porter Jr.'s continued adjustment to the point guard role, as well as some way too early lineup data about some of the Rockets' most successful and least successful lineups to start this season, which will back up some of the points that obviously Rockets fans have been clamoring for, you know, be it Alper and Şengün and, you know, different lineups that they want to see on the floor more. So that'll be fun. And then just a couple points and adjustments that I'd like to see out of Rockets Lakers round two. So let's start with KPJ, because one, this is going to be a dialogue that we're going to have all season. Like, this isn't going away anytime soon. This is going to be like a topic that we revisit every few games. In most of the game recaps, we're going to be highlighting and pointing out, okay, where did KPJ struggle? You know, how does he improve? How does this adjustment look to him becoming the quote unquote point guard for this team? And one of my observations was just one, you know, and this has been a recurring theme. So if you've missed it, you know, you're obviously not listening every day, but it's going to take time for KPJ to adjust to this role. I have said, you know, multiple times before, do I think KPJ is a natural, like, floor general point guard, whatever? No, I don't think he is. He is a scoring wing that has a increased ability and elite ability to facilitate. He's got great court vision, all of that. And I think right now he's struggling with the identity of those two roles. And I would like to draw a comparison to a guy that I find myself constantly comparing KPJ to, which is probably unfair to him, but, you know, it's the best example I have. Let's think about James Harden for a second here, right? James Harden wasn't asked to be a point guard until, what, his seventh year in the NBA? What, 2016, 17? Yeah, so about, what, 7, 8 years into his NBA career was when Mike D'Antoni got brought into Houston and James Harden was, you know, ball got put in his hands and it's like, all right, here, you're the point guard now. Steer the offense. So KPJ is being asked to do that just not even a full calendar NBA season into his NBA tenure. Yes, this is his third year in the NBA, but he's only played 80-something career games, 82, I think now, 81. So he hasn't even played a full, or he's right at a full calendar NBA season. And suddenly he's being asked to completely revamp his identity as a player and balance the idea of being both a scorer and creating for himself, but also the ability to use his court vision and create for others. And it seems at times that that comes very naturally to him. And then at other times, it seems like it's a complete struggle. Like the play that I highlighted where KPJ got, I think it was Kent Bazemore on, you know, basically had the ball on a string, was, you know, hit him with a bunch of fancy dribbles, and then broke him down off the dribble and got to the rim and then scooped it up with his offhand for KJ Martin to slam it home. That play wasn't like a developed play, right? That was just KPJ just breaking somebody down off the dribble and using his gravity to create for somebody else. Much akin to what we saw James Harden do for much of his Houston tenure. But my main point here is that James Harden was, for the first handful of years in his career at OKC, just a, you know, he was an off the bench man, a scoring spark, a shooting guard, and he played, you know, significantly more off ball than he did once he came to Houston and got the ball put in his hands. So he had that identity to his game. And then he comes to Houston and he becomes like the focal point of the offense, starts, you know, everything's running through him. He's not exactly the point guard yet, but his goal, his primary, you know, objective on the floor is still just to score the hell out of the basketball, right? He was a wing scorer. And then he started transitioning. And obviously he, you know, there were glimpses of his playmaking ability before he became the official point guard of the team under Mike D'Antoni. But I think that mentality shift didn't have to happen for him until much later on in his career. Whereas Kevin Porter Jr. is still one, he's still adjusting and adapting to the NBA. He's only 21 years old. And he's now having to change his mentality about how he approaches the game on a nightly basis. And this is something that I've said multiple times through these first six games now, is it feels like at times he's just overthinking things. Like he's overanalyzing, he's overthinking things rather than just playing within the flow of what's happening in the game and not thinking about stuff. And maybe that's just what he needs. Maybe that's where he needs to flourish first, is as a wing scorer. And then down the line, because he's already shown an ability to have the court awareness, the playmaking ability, the ability to set his teammates up. He's shown that in flashes. But maybe it's too much right now for him to be balancing both identities, right? And it is a little bit redundant having Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, who are very, very similar players. They're both elite, naturally talented wing scorers who have an ability to play, make, and create for others off of their score and their natural scoring ability and just a natural ability to pass the ball. So having those two guys on the floor together, it's a little bit redundant. It feels like kind of having two of the same guy on the floor at the same time, and it can work. I'm not against it, and I still want to see how this experiment, you know, rolls along throughout the rest of the NBA season. But I think, you know, for Kevin Porter Jr. especially, the turnovers have become a big issue, especially like the sloppy, careless turnovers. It's one thing if it's a forced turnover, like, you know, the ball pressure is really intense or you're trying to make something happen in transition and you're maybe trying to thread the needle on a pass. Sure, those are a bit more understandable, but it's like the sloppy entry passes, the careless, like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, just nonchalantly toss this ball over this guy and, oh, it gets picked off, you know, those kinds of things, or the picking up the dribble and getting caught in traffic and then turning it over there. Those situations from Kevin Porter Jr., we need to start seeing them be cut down by, I would say, about the 25 game mark of the season. Give it about the quarter mark of the season. Want to see that become, you know, want to see some notched improvement in that area. Otherwise, I'm going to start kind of slowly backing away from the Kevin Porter Jr. as a true point guard experiment. I still think he has tremendous potential as a wing scorer in the NBA, as a combo guard who can facilitate, playmake, who can score the ball, all those different things, but that's already what Jalen Green is supposed to be. Can they still coexist down the line? And maybe could the Rockets conceivably next offseason or in the future get a true point guard to pair with those two and have KPJ and Jalen Green be the two and the three of the future for the Houston Rockets? Possibly. Not completely out on it yet, but these are just some, again, some random thoughts and observations that I've thrown together. And the biggest part in this is going to be patience, right? With KPJ, it's going to be allowing him the opportunity to adjust, because he's adjusting to so many things all at once, right? He's adjusting to being given the keys to the offense. He's adjusting to becoming a point guard. He's still learning the NBA game. He's still learning and picking and choosing his spots. So I'm not out on the idea of it just yet. These are just some random thoughts and observations that I had about the situation at hand for the Houston Rockets. Also worth noting that the Houston Rockets picked up the fourth-year option on Kevin Porter Jr.'s contract. So that's exciting news there. Obviously, it was bound to happen. The Rockets weren't going to decline that option, but it's very cool that it did happen. So some great news there. Obviously, the Rockets are very high on Kevin Porter Jr. They think he has his potential is absolutely through the roof, as do I. So even if the experiment of KPJ as the point guard doesn't work out in the, you know, this season or down the line, I still think he has a very promising career as an NBA player. It's just whether or not it'll work with him and Jalen Green sharing the backcourt as one and two, or maybe they need to eventually share the wing as two and three. So we'll keep monitoring that. Again, just some random thoughts on KPJ that I wanted to throw out there. But coming up, I want to share some lineup data, some way too early lineup data because the sample sizes are way too small. But I want to share some lineup data. We'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at PrizePicks, because PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. PrizePicks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. It offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each and every game. Basically, look, you pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times back on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected number. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA, or go to your app store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I don't know why I was doing a little shoulder shimmy at the start of that segment, but I was. Thank you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen of the day. We would sincerely appreciate it. Free and available on whatever platform you can imagine. Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, all those different places, as well as YouTube, if you want to see the shoulder shimmy that I was rocking. So let's get into some lineup data, which is just, it's way too early to be looking at lineup data, but I was curious, and so I pulled up some of these, five-man lineups, a couple three-man lineups, just to get an idea of, you know, where the success for this Houston, where the success and where the struggles for this Houston Rockets team are coming from. And I will preface this by saying that it'll be interesting to see what lineups are trotted out against the Lakers in round two of this matchup, because right now, Daniel Theis and Jayshon Tate are both questionable. So Daniel House Jr. is still out with the right foot sprain. Jayshon Tate is questionable with right ankle soreness, and Daniel Theis is questionable with right great toe soreness. So it's possible that one, if not both of those guys, may be sitting out this game. And if they do, then it'll be really interesting to see which direction Steven Silas goes with the starting lineup, who gets the nod in place of them. If both of those guys are out, my best assumption is that Alperen Şengün and Eric Gordon will be the starters plugged in place. So we'll see KPJ, Jalen Green, Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, and Alperen Şengün as the starting five, if both of those guys are out. Now, again, questionable does not mean out. So remains to be seen whether or not they will actually play. We'll find out a little bit closer to tip off if they're actually going to make it in this game. That said, it still will be fun to see if Alperen Şengün can get the starting nod over Daniel Theis if he's out, to see how things look from the jump with Alperen Şengün in the starting lineup as opposed to him checking in as like the sixth or seventh man, you know, the first or second substitution off the bench. So let's get into, so first lineup data that I pulled up is I wanted to see the five-man lineup for this Rockets team. And again, it's so early in the season. The lineup data, it's very, very small sample size. So I was able to pull up three different sets of lineup data with the with a minimum minutes played of 15 minutes because we're only six games into the season. So right now the Rockets have one core five-man group that has played 80 minutes together, and that's the de facto starting lineup. So KPJ, Jalen Green, Jayshon Tate, Christian Wood, and Daniel Theis. They have two more five-man lineups that have played both 18 and 16 minutes together, respectively. Get to those guys in a second. But the main five-man lineup that's played 80 minutes together already this season across six games, the starting lineup, has an offensive rating of 80.4. Ugh, shivers. Okay, an offensive rating of 80.4 and a defensive rating of 102.9. Now, the defensive rating is not the end of the world. Again, this Rockets team has shown that they are actually more competent defensively than I would have guessed. In fact, I have this pulled up. If you told me that this Rockets team was actually going to be like middle of the pack defensively, I would not have believed you in the slightest. In fact, that five-man defensive rating across the starters would be good enough for right now. Math, numbers, they're scary. Okay, they'd be good enough for like ninth in the league defensively, right? If you're just talking about the numbers from that five-man starting group. So that's actually pretty impressive that the starters have a relatively strong defensive identity. They've been holding the ball down well on that end of the court, especially with two young guards in Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. So it goes to show that Jayshon Tate, Christian Wood, and Daniel Theis are holding up their end of the bargain as the front court kind of holding things down for that unit. Now, the offensive ratings where things are super concerning because there's no reason why that talented group of guys should be putting up 80.4 points per 100 possessions. That's just abominable. A big part of that has been turnovers. You know, the Rockets have continuously turned the ball over like it's their job. Like, they constantly have coughed the ball up throughout these first six games. They have not done themselves any favors. The Rockets are currently leading the league by a wide margin in turnovers per game at 19.3 turnovers per contest. They almost have more turnovers committed than they do assists per game. So they're averaging 21.2 assists per contest. They're averaging 19.3 turnovers per contest through six games. That is not sustainable. Like, that is absolutely atrocious offense. And again, a big part of that comes from, you know, Kevin Porter Jr.'s adjustment to the point guard role, as well as the spacing issues in the starting five. So at times, it feels like the starting five and their spacing and just where guys are on the floor has been suboptimal. I'm going to put it as PC as possible, right? Because you have different guys doing different things on the floor. Jayshon Tate, for as great of a cutter as he is, he makes great cuts at times, and then other times he rotates around and is, you know, tries to cut in or looks like he's going for an offensive rebound and kind of clogs up things in the paint. Daniel Theis, unfortunately, has not shown a proclivity to be a confident, confident three-point shooter, or at least a consistent, confident three-point shooter. And so right now, the Rockets starting lineup struggles with spacing offensively. And then not only that, Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green are both struggling to actually get to the rim effectively as you know, like just straight up just dribble penetration, right? At times, they struggle to get to the rim because they're struggling to fight past other more physical NBA defenders. And it's very evident when you see Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green kind of struggle to get anything going inside towards the rim, right? And then Eric Gordon checks in and immediately bulldozes his way to the front of the rim and gets an easy two at the cup, because Eric Gordon uses his size, his body, to literally just bump defenders off of him. It's like he's like a bowling ball going through bowling pins, and that's how he gets to the rim effectively with ease. And so that's going to come with time for Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., but the Rockets starting five, apart from Jayshon Tate and some of the inside play that the Rockets get out of Christian Wood, it feels like everything comes out of the perimeter for that lineup. Sometimes it looks okay in the pick and roll when they're running pick and roll with Theis or Wood, but they don't run enough of that to where it feels like they're getting enough, you know, enough offense going downhill towards the rim, unfortunately. So wanted to highlight those. I've got a couple more. I want to highlight some of the three-man lineup numbers as well as the numbers involving Alperen Şengün here in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Shopify. In case you don't know, Shopify is a complete e-commerce platform that lets you start, grow, and manage a business. The subscription-based software allows anyone to set up an online store and sell their products. Shopify store owners can also sell in physical locations using Shopify POS, point-of-sale app, and accompanying hardware. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big businesses, right? So upstart startups and established businesses alike can sell anywhere and everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility, and Shopify helps you make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. So go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of awesome features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA right now. That's shopify.com/lockedonNBA. And we have another message from our friends over at betonline.ag, because BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface that starts with the start of basketball season. More props, more odds than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head over to their website, check out the updated desktop and mobile website design. Sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus when you use promo code LOCKEDON on your very first deposit. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. So final thoughts. We got these lineup numbers we're going through, and I want to get to the three-man lineup numbers, because I think they very clearly paint a picture that Eric Gordon is the most crucial player on this team. He's the most important part of this team when it comes to playing, winning basketball. Now, if I go through these three-man lineup numbers, there are four sets of three different of three-man lineups that have a really solid positive net rating, all the way ranging from 32.9 down to 6.5 net rating. And then it becomes like, you know, 0.9, 0.9, 0.0 net, and then we get into the negative net ratings. Now, again, it's important to take these lineup numbers with a grain of salt because it's very early in the season and we have a very, very, very small sample size. That said, of these four lineups involving, you know, the positive net ratings across these three-man lineup groups, Eric Gordon is featured in every single one. So the very first lineup is Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, and Jayshon Tate, with a offensive rating of 101.5 and a defensive rating of 68.6 for a net rating of 32.9 in 31 minutes played together. So that's a really, really solid three-man lineup group right there. Next one is Eric Gordon, Kevin Porter Jr., and Jayshon Tate. So again, Jayshon Tate making another appearance in a three-man lineup group. That one has an 18.7 net rating, 101.4 on offense, 82.7 defensively. This next one is the largest sample size because they've played together in 65 minutes, and it's Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, and Kevin Porter Jr. So that trio has an offensive rating of 99.3, not great, but the defensive rating of 86.5 is pretty promising, so a net rating of 12.8. And then the final lineup is Eric Gordon, Kevin Porter Jr., and Alperen Şengün has an offensive rating of 106.5 and a defensive rating of exactly 100 for a net rating of 6.5. So what these numbers really tell us is that Eric Gordon is so important to what this Rockets team is trying to do when it comes to conducive winning basketball. He is the Rockets' best player on both sides of the floor currently. He's their best defender. He is their best offensive player because he's able to score at all three levels in a variety of ways. Right? We see at times Christian Wood get a little tunnel vision, turn the ball over, force up some ill-advised shots. Even though he's got, you know, a versatile offensive bag, you know, can score from beyond the three-point line, can score inside at the paint, at the rim, all these different things. Eric Gordon does it more efficiently and more consistently, I think. And he just provides a different look for this Rockets team when you go from Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, who struggle getting to the cup at times and creating at the rim because they just, at this point, they're at times it feels like they're forced to just be exclusively perimeter players unless they're getting out in transition and getting to the rim that way, because they're just getting bodied by opposing defenses so consistently. Eric Gordon gets to the rim at will with ease, right? So he gives them a different look, a different dynamic offensively to be able to attack opposing defenses. So I wanted to highlight those numbers because I think it backs up the idea that, again, Eric Gordon is very important to what this Rockets team is trying to do. And it, again, mixing the veterans, mixing the young guys, right? People clamoring, why are we playing Eric Gordon? Why are we featuring him? Why is he getting so many minutes each night? Where's Josh Christopher? All of that, right? Like, Eric Gordon's playing because he's good at the game of basketball and you want to instill these good habits. You don't want this team to be getting blown out end to end for the next, you know, 75 some odd games. You want them to be able to play some competitive basketball games. You want them to win some games, right? We went through a 20 game losing streak last season and, you know, it sucks. You don't want to instill the wrong, you know, you don't want to have this team be demoralized. You don't want to instill the wrong habits, all this stuff for this group of really, really young guys. And so having the veterans out there, having those guys, you know, absorb some of those minutes. I still understand the frustrations with some of the rotation guys, right? I'm not campaigning here for Daniel House Jr. to get minutes. I think that he clearly should be the last guy in the wing rotation. I think everybody else in the wing rotation should be ahead of him. Tate, Nwaba, KJ Martin. That's kind of where I'm at on Daniel House Jr. Daniel Theis, it's a little bit different, right? The numbers from the five-man lineup data suggest that Daniel Theis does a pretty good job defensively when he's on the floor. It's just unfortunate that things look so rough offensively when he's out there on the basketball floor because he doesn't provide the same level of playmaking and ability to create for his teammates and ability to create for himself, even at the rim, that Alperen Şengün does. Or even better, when Christian Wood is playing the five and they're not running a double big lineup, right? So things look a little bit better offensively when they don't have Daniel Theis out there. But defensively, things have looked really good. He's held his own defensively. He's switchable. He rebounds well. He's got good court awareness. He's a good help defender. Like, all these different things, right? So I'm not completely ready to jump on the just throw Şengün into the starting lineup bandwagon just yet, especially because I think he helps anchor that second unit as a playmaker. And speaking of Şengün, I've got one five-man lineup number here that I cherry-picked because, again, we're working on very small sample sizes here. But the five-man lineup of Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, Kevin Porter Jr., Jayshon Tate, and Alperen Şengün has a 41.0 net rating, a 121.7 offensive rating, and an 80.8 defensive rating. And they've only played 10 minutes together, though. So that's the lineup that gets plugged in. Like, right, it's the first two substitutions off the bench when Jalen Green and Daniel Tice sit down, and then Eric Gordon and Alperen Şengün come in. It's that lineup, and they've only played 10 minutes together across four different games, but they have a 121.7 offensive rating and an 80.8 defensive rating. So that lineup is putting in work across, again, it's only been 10 minutes, so we got to take everything with a grain of salt. But that's why I said it's way too early to be looking at these lineup numbers. It's going to be fun to revisit these as the season progresses to see which of these lineups actually hold true to their values, which of them come down to earth a little bit, and which ones actually turn out to be the consistent quality lineups. And that's what Steven Silas is figuring out. I think that's the big thing that I want to hammer home. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're watching Rockets games on the regular, right, and if you're frustrated with Steven Silas and you know his rotations, his lineups, he's still trying to figure out which of these lineups work best together, right? So he started off the season and he was kind of staggering Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. and making sure that they both had time like by themselves on the floor alongside either Eric Gordon or DJ Augustine. Now he's kind of gone away from that to where he's not staggering those two anymore. He's still experimenting with lineups and figuring out which ones work and which ones don't. And he has a whole team of guys, his assistant coaches, the you know, analytics department for the Rockets, all of them are feeding him information that's way better than anything that I can get off of NBA.com and telling him, okay, these guys are successful. And when these guys play, this is what this looks like. And he's taking all that information and then processing it and figuring out, okay, what lineups work the best, right? Because they're not going out there with the intention to lose. That's not what this team is doing whatsoever. Counter to what every Rockets fan would have you believe that the season is all about tanking. It's not. This team is trying to go out there and compete. They're just struggling, unfortunately, to put it together offensively right now. The defense isn't even the issue, which is wild for me to think about, that the defense hasn't been the problem so far, that it's just offensively they haven't been able to put it together, unfortunately, to this point. So with that, a couple thoughts on this Rockets-Lakers rematch between the two teams. I mentioned in the recap episode that I wanted to see Jalen Green be more involved offensively. That is definitely something that Steven Silas has to walk the line on, between Kevin Porter Jr. steering things offensively and then Jalen Green being more involved offensively. And it's not just Steven Silas. It also has to do with Kevin Porter Jr., right? If he has the ball in his hands for too much of the game, if he's over-dribbling, if he's not sharing the ball enough, then Jalen Green's not going to get proper reps, proper attempts, and proper usage. So I want to see more out of Jalen Green in this one. Want to see him be more involved offensively in this game. Want to see Christian Wood be a better decision maker. Again, he does a great job of creating the advantage for the team, but then not actually taking advantage of it, right? He does a great job collapsing defenses, putting a lot of attention on him. It's about finding that next man and kicking it out, making the right read as the defense decides to send a second guy at him or cut off his driving lane, those kinds of things. So I want to see more out of Christian Wood. And I want to see KJ Martin. Look, KJ Martin played incredibly down the stretch in the previous matchup against LA. He unlocks a lot of different things offensively because he runs the floor really well. He's arguably the most athletic guy on the team right there. You know, him and Jalen Green, like neck and neck for most athletic. But he runs the floor really well. He gives the Rockets kind of an inside scoring presence. I talked about his ability to kind of space the floor vertically for the Rockets a little bit, because he's not just a big who's going to be out there standing on the perimeter. And maybe that's a bit of the game plan that Steven Silas changes up a little bit. Maybe we'll see KJ Martin or even Christian Wood and Daniel Tice being featured maybe a bit more in that dunker spot. So instead of just a full-blown five out spaced offense, we'll see one guy in the dunker spot. We'll see the pick and roll coverages, and maybe we'll see how that can play out offensively to give the Rockets another wrinkle in their offensive sets. Because at times, when you've just got all five guys standing outside on the perimeter, it feels like things get really stagnant, especially in that starting five, because Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green at times struggle with their dribble penetration to get into the teeth of the defense and really start creating havoc and collapsing things. And it kind of devolves into a lot of perimeter play at times. So KJ Martin, he runs the floor really well. He plays solid defense. He gives the Rockets like a lob target inside. There's a lot of different things that he brings to the table, as well as his ability. He's gotten more comfortable with dribbling the basketball, right? He can take opposing players off the dribble and get to the rim. We saw him do that once against LA. So I want to see him get a substantial amount of minutes in this game. If Jayshon Tate's not playing, then I think there's no reason why KJ Martin shouldn't get 20 plus minutes in this game. Past that, I think he should be getting at least 10 to 15 minutes per game while Daniel House Jr. is out. And even past that, once Daniel House Jr. is back, I don't want to see him suddenly leapfrog KJ again in the rotation. KJ's shown a lot of potential, a lot of flashes, and he needs to be getting the actual reps. He was not the guy that I thought was going to get squeezed from the rotation this season. Steven Silas has been praising him constantly for his work ethic and the amount of work that he is putting in. So I think that work needs to be rewarded and just play the kid, right? Like, he absolutely deserves it. And he gives the Rockets a different dimension on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. So I want to see more minutes for KJ Martin in this next matchup against the Lakers. So with that, that's going to be the end of this episode. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also subscribe and check out the brand new YouTube channel where you can see me in crystal clear 4K high quality. It's not 4K. I'll get a 4K camera eventually. You can see the pores on my face if I do that. No. But yeah, check out the YouTube channel. We would sincerely appreciate it. But for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.